or to the club.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, Rand Partners Edition.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Rand Partners Podcast. Joined today, as usual, by our co-host, Mike Taravella. How are you doing today, Mike?
No, just living the dream, making it happen, Dylan.
Living the dream, making it happen here in Nashville today with an exciting guest that is going to bring a tremendous amount of value to the audience here. We're here with Mr. Evan Holiday. How's it going, Evan?
It's going well, man. Pumped to be with two of my favorite dudes.
Yeah, excited to have you on the show, and it's great to have our first in-person podcast. This is it's a little bit different.
But Breaking new ground, man. I love it.
Breaking new ground, right? Constant progression, which I think is a good topic for us to talk about, right? Constant progression, constant improvement, because you've made a lot of big changes just in the last 3-6 months we've been seeing.
Yeah.
So want to tell us about that? What's changed for you in the last 6 months, and what is it that you do?
Yeah, I love it. Two big questions. So for the last 6 months, really, a lot has changed. I mean, the three of us have really gotten to know each other a lot. But really, for me, it has come down to, you know, progression of my career and where I've seen things going. And my vision, I've just gotten immensely more clear on that. Mm-hmm. And I really think that, like, that was the domino that led everything else to just shift. So it started with, like, the podcast Monumental about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And really knowing that eventually I wanted to go off, start my own company, because I knew that I wanted to have a big, crazy big impact on the world. And that's why, you know, we call it Monumental. Like, I really resonate with that, and I resonate with people that want to have a big impact. And so that's really kind of what started the domino effect, was me getting into podcasting, me taking my branding more seriously and using it as a platform to leverage unique relationships with people. And then that led its way into meeting a lot of successful people, which has been a blessing. And from that, really coming to a grasp of where I want to go, what I want to do. And really that boils down to impacting a lot of people through workforce and affordable housing. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 6 years with LDG Development. And they're one of the top developers in the country. Really got to learn a lot from them, cut my teeth there as far as real estate, multifamily. But really the last 6 months have taken that up a notch and started my own company. Left LDG Development, started Holiday Ventures full time, and now doing development and acquisitions, specifically in that workforce and affordable housing range, because there is such a huge need there. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a blue ocean right now in multifamily.
Absolutely. How now, with that niche in workforce and affordable housing, what led you down that path in your real estate career?
Good question. So it really started in college for me. So way back in the day, going to University of Louisville. And when I was there, I was going down the pre-med route. And I was like, man, like, what am I doing? Like, I don't like science. I don't like chemistry. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not me, but there's something about medicine that drew me into it. And I think it was really the, like, impacting others, like helping others. And when I was at in school, I saw this big development going in on campus. And I was like, man, that is what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was about it, but I was like, the impact, the you know, the literally changing a neighborhood forever, right there in Old Louisville and University of Louisville. I was like, man, I want to do that. And so I found out who the developer owner was, found a mutual connection, was able to get introduced. And I was like, hey, how can I add value to you? You know, I really would love to learn from you. He's like, well, I'm not just going to hire you. You know, I need to see some kind of reason to actually hire you or bring you on. And so basically got like a few hundred people out to the groundbreaking. And that's when I was able to learn hands-on all about development. He had new market tax credits. He had retail. He had historic credits. Like, he had everything built in to this development. That really, like, that's what got me into real estate. That's what got me into development. And from there, myself and four other people, we started a modular housing development company in college. And that's what really got me into affordable housing, because I learned all about, I was like, well, we can do modular and that's unique already, but let's actually do some good with it. And actually like provide affordable housing and workforce.
How do you get into modular?
Good question. It was really us wanting to get into real estate, but we just didn't know exactly what our niche was going to be. And a professor actually gave us the idea, said, hey, I have some friends over at University of Kentucky, professors, and they're actually leading a class right now where the professors and the students are making modular housing out of the same layout as a houseboat. And so Kentucky, Somerset, Kentucky is like a mecca for houseboat manufacturing plants. They laid off thousands of skilled workers when the housing market crashed. So they were looking at ways to use the same facilities, the same factories, the same skilled workers, and put them back to work and be able to provide affordable workforce housing, energy efficient as well, and quicker to market. So all those benefits, they were trying to take advantage of existing facilities, and they were already designing everything, but they didn't have any way to actually commercialize it. So our professor was like, hey, you guys want to do some sort of real estate development. These guys have, you know, a potential niche for you all. And so we met, we, you know, showed them that we were fully capable and really like gung-ho about, you know, doing something with this and actually helping them like take it from an idea and a plan to actually building it. And so that's when we got the rights to the plans. And we really just tried to raise money as quickly as possible. So we did some business plan competitions in school, ended up raising, it wasn't much at the time, but I think it was like $20,000 or $30,000 from these little business plan competitions, competing from different schools with different schools. And it taught us so much about real estate. It was kind of like a crash course. It was literally like, if you think about, you have these experts, venture capitalists that are basically judges.
Yeah.
And they're going to pick every, you know, it's kind of like Shark Tank. They're going to pick apart everything you're doing. And so you don't want to look like an idiot. So you prepare for every single question that they could ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would literally, you know, cram, you know, the week before the presentation, it was like an exam. And we would cram and just prepare ourselves, ask the experts. We had a board of directors, you know, individuals like the director of the housing authority, a developer in town, a director of a nonprofit. And we learned from all of them, you know, this is what you need to be prepared for as far as the energy efficiency, as far as construction, as far as affordable, as far as, you know, being able to manage properties once you build them. So really, it was like a crash course. It was like building our own board of directors, our own mentors.
Right.
And that's really what helped us learn and grow this thing so quickly.
That's amazing. And I can just see as you talk about it, just, you know, being you as a young college kid with the excitement in your eyes, right, not knowing all the answers, but having the fullest intention to go out there and make it happen, right? And I think that's where it all began for a lot of us, right? And through just the sheer motivation to get into the space and to break in. And there's a million different ways you can break into real estate. I know a lot of our listeners are investing in all different types of real estate, and there's hundreds of ways that you can start off the business, but it all starts with just the drive, the intention. And I think if you have your head in the right place, opportunities will open to you. And you've consistently been able to find the opportunity, stay with the opportunity. So you went from modular home development into, was that where you transferred after school? Did you go into LDG from there into affordable development? Okay.
So it actually, I was looking for capital partners and partners with experience.
Right.
You know, same as what, you know, individuals getting into syndication should be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for the same thing on the new construction side and specifically affordable. So I sought out this LDG group. I was like, they'd be great partners. And
we wanted to slow down and just share what is affordable too, just for our listeners
that
may not be as familiar. Because we say safe, clean, and affordable oftentimes, but we're talking about a different type of affordable. We're typically talking about market rate apartments that are reasonably priced for workforce housing. So when we're talking about affordable in this context, it's a little bit different. If you want to just explain the specific niche.
Yeah. So affordable housing is basically more or less a public-private partnership that is seeking to provide something that the market wouldn't normally create itself. And it usually comes down to a supply and demand issue. And there's a whole nother reason of why our supply and demand doesn't hit the equilibrium. And that's, you know, a whole nother, that's many podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. But really it's a public-private partnership with the federal government providing tax credits or local governments providing tax abatements. And we as developers or even investors buying existing, we are given incentives to keep it affordable. And in turn, because we're offsetting our potential rent growth and, you know, we're foregoing things on the rents that we can achieve for the same type of property. Because we're building Class A style, we're building, you know, one step below like a luxury brand new market rate community. So we in turn are given tax credits, which we sell to our investors who take the credits, give us cash equity, which helps us pay for it. So we're incentivized to build this housing. We keep it long-term affordable. And it's just it's a way for working class families making, you know, in the cities we work in, like here in Nashville, it's $30,000 to up to about $70,000 for a family of four. So that's a pretty wide range mm-hmm. of people that we serve that are anywhere from, you know, if you look at the entry level incomes in Nashville, like a nurse makes $44,000, a policeman makes $43,000, fireman makes, I think, $41,000. So it is that kind of, you know, the backbone of your community, mm-hmm. the retail, the admin. That those are the families that we are serving.
Yeah, and I think the biggest benefit is the city wins because they get more affordable housing for these residents. You as a developer get to build it. And last but not least, the investor, the tax credit, is they have a lot of capital gains and they want to wipe off. So they're in exchange giving Evan the money to reduce the taxes by receiving those credits once it comes tax time.
Right, exactly. So the tax credits are dollar for dollar write off on your taxes, on your tax liability. And also banks, any bank in the United States, they're required by the Community Reinvestment Act of 1986 to invest in every single market in an area that they want to provide service banking mm-hmm. services in. So if you want to be in any part of Nashville, you have to make sure that you're investing in every part of Nashville.
Right, because after the whole redlining
thing. Right, exactly, yep. exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to prevent banks from not banking in certain lower income parts of town.
Right. Gotcha. Absolutely. So I appreciate you slowing down and breaking that down for the audience. So you went from out of school, you had your experience in modular homes, you started to work for LDG. And I imagine this is where you learned a lot of the ropes, right? You're showing the ropes for a lot of right. development as a whole. And what is it particularly that you're working with an experienced group going in, you know, not fully familiar with the process, what was the value that work for LDG brought to you?
Yeah, honestly, I recommend that to a lot of people. If you're just getting started and you're seeing real estate as your career or something that you really want to be a part of, find a mentor, find somebody that you can actually work for. And that is, in a sense, can be a form of entrepreneurship because at LDG, they pretty much threw me in the deep end. They mm-hmm. said, you know, sink or swim, you know, good luck.
right.
And they pretty much told me day one, you need to go out and find deals and you're going to be, you know, you're going to be compensated for finding deals and we'll help you along the way. But really, ultimately, that responsibility is on you. And I think that's the type of person they were looking for. But I think that that mentality of like, look, you know, it's up to you, but we will back you. And
so it was a job, but it was still sort of the sink or swim mindset that you feel within entrepreneurship, right? And that's right. why we use the term a lot of times, intrapreneurship, right? Where you can go and be a part of something right. that might be a little bit grander in that sense, but you're still running essentially your own business and it's performance based.
Exactly, exactly. So so it was really interesting because I could, you know, I was finding land. I was, you know, talking to city council members. I was talking to equity investors. And this was like first few months on the job. So it really kind of threw me in the deep end. but I was able to learn from there. At the time, they'd done hundreds of millions of dollars. They've now done billions of dollars. And just being able to learn and grow with them, you know, I think I was employee number 13 there.
Wow.
So I really got to learn when they were at the early stages and got to grow with them. But I highly recommend that to anybody. It's like, find somebody that is already successful. Find a way where you can work alongside them mm-hmm. and learn from them. And honestly, like, I got paid to be mentored. I got paid to be coached by some of the best yep. in the business. And, you know, where else do you get an opportunity for that? Usually you have to pay tremendously to get that mentorship yep. or that coaching.
Well, I say it often, it's either you're seeking to serve or paying to play when it comes to mentorship. And while there's a lot of value in, of course, investing into coaching, education, something I think you're actually starting to branch out and get into a little bit yourself. We'll hear from more on. But there's also a ton of value in seeking to serve. If not, I think there's actually more, because you can build a genuine relationship where it's really a true, you know, value for value transaction, where I think all of us here have felt the results of that firsthand in having folks that are further down the path than us help teach us and guide us and help us in our real estate careers. And that's helped propel us all in terms of our investing at a young age. So I think that's it's really, really valuable advice. And just to go even further on that, you mentioned you were number 13 in the company, right? That's huge. I'm sure they have at least several dozen employees now, maybe, you know, some companies will go.
I think they're up to like 60 now.
60, right? Yeah. So, and 60 is a lot for a development company, right? Yeah, these are pretty lean, nimble businesses. So you're doing some serious volume by the time you get to where you have 60 full-time employees in house. So thinking about that, there's often options to go work for a large corporation involved in real estate, say real estate investment trust, right? If you have the pedigree, the degree, or the corporate background to go work for a company like that, for many, that's one option going towards like a REIT, for instance. And there's also a number of other options. You can go into something like being a broker. You can go into being a loan broker. You can go into working at a smaller investment shop. Do you encourage people that are going that route and seeking to serve to go after a smaller group? Do you find that that was beneficial to you, or do you find that any group is equal, or the larger the group, the better?
You know, I say it depends, because for me, I got a lot of hands-on experience, a lot of hands-on time with the owners, with the principals, with the key people in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was one degree of separation away. Like I could call or text whenever I wanted, and had that like immediate mentorship, where I think some of these bigger groups, you get departmentalized. You probably start out a lot lower. Like, I couldn't imagine too many college kids are going to be hired by a REIT to go source deals.
Right.
So it's just the way that they're structured. They have talented people at a much higher level that want those same spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe the opportunity will be smaller at a REIT, but honestly, the flip side of it is, there's certain things that I want to know about the REIT level investment that I don't know.
Right.
And I that's what I'm actively looking to learn now, is like, what does it take to go from, you know, a few dozen employees to a few hundred or a few thousand? Like, what does it take to get to that scale? So that's what I'm actively learning now, trying to find mentors in that space now. So I think it's, you know, it's give and take, but honestly, I wouldn't change it for the world of having that like hands-on experience mm-hmm. with successful smaller group, because your learning curve is so much bigger.
You're wearing a lot more hats, right? You'd have probably a very, very specialized role, right? Because you're doing so much volume that you can afford to be very, very specialized, versus in the beginning where we all are, right? And currently, and if you work for a smaller shop, you're wearing a lot of hats. You're seeing the asset management and how that ties into acquisitions or property management and so on. So yeah. I think that's really sound advice. Now, you mentioned starting with several dozen and going into several hundred, several thousand. So that's something that Mike and I are, you know, we definitely talk about all the time, where we're talking often about just growing the business and the culture within the business, right? We're doing constant research on the culture, developing or operating, you know, principles and value systems, and finding ways to instill that now and practice it as individuals now, so that as we scale, we can get there. Do you have any, or do you want to paint the picture for us of what you imagine the business to be in 3, 5, if you want to talk 10 years, you can talk 10 years.
So you're a big traction guy. So we know we got the BHAG out there.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, honestly, Traction has been a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. The EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System, has, you know, taken my ideas and my big vision. I already had the big vision before I read Traction, but reading Traction helped me, like, say, okay, I want to get here, but how do I get there? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the 5, 10, 20 year goals to help me reach that big goal? And so really for me, it's about having like massive, massive impact. Cause I know that any of us can have that impact if we like actually believe in ourselves and put in the work and think big, like mm-hmm. exactly what we're talking about, like thinking bigger. So really for me, the big, hairy, audacious goal mm-hmm. is 100,000 units, either developed or acquired. And getting there is going to be, you know, having to think massive on a, you know, even like within the next year, because I want to start that momentum as soon as possible. And really building out a team of people that are invested in not just getting to that 100,000 number, but also investing in resident empowerment. So that's something that really struck me. And when Jeanette and I were talking about what this Holiday Ventures company would look like, that was something that stood out to us that, you know, could be a way that we could really take this to a whole nother level of like, hey, we're not just doing housing. We're actually like creating an impact on the people, not just from providing affordable housing, which in itself is helpful to the residents, but taking that up a notch and saying, how can we actually help them through personal development, through financial education, through, career resume building, you know, all these different things where, I know there are groups out there doing that, but I want to take it to a whole nother level and say, you know, like, let's really, you know, let's get them listening to podcasts, you know, let's have them do what we're doing right now and talk about how they can live their best life and how they can empower their children to live their best life and give their kids a leg up. Because I when we were talking about it, I was like, we have 100, you know, potentially 100,000 families that, you know, are going to be almost like a captive audience. Like helping them 365 days out of the year.
Yeah.
Like that, those are people that we can directly affect. And then that ripple effect is just going to be massive if we can get to that scale. So in a nutshell, that's like the big hairy love goal. And really like, and honestly, even be above and beyond that, you know, wanting to have many other verticals within that same line, but then also other ventures that are completely unrelated.
Sure.
And that clarity, I think too, having that BHAG is important because then it trickles down to your core values. Because everyone, when they start off as a company, they go, I want to make money, but that's not a true value. You, Evan's taken monumental action and providing value add when it comes to real estate, to his residents. Building that out will directly trickle down to your team members and everyone understanding that purpose of why we're here, what we're doing. Because a lot of people think, oh, as I build out a team, it's to make money, but they don't realize that. So having that core value, that core purpose allows that real community to develop. And then understanding that purpose, like when we volunteered for RAND Cares, we understood the impact we're making on just one day. So it reminds us every day why we're here and why we're developing communities.
And you hit the nail on the head, Mike, when you talk about communities. That's actually our company mission statement, is to create communities that allow others to become the best version of themselves. So you're saying the same thing, right? In different ways. It's basically a way of being able to shape communities. There's several communities that we're influencing. We're shaping right now the podcast community. Right, the folks that are listening to the podcast. We're also shaping the community within the company. We have a family of companies. We have several organizations that are all kind of working hand in hand, and we consider it a big family that, you know, we're shaping in terms of our community and our direct influence on those around us on a daily basis. We're shaping the community of our investors. We consider that another investor community, right? The Jake and Gino have the student community as well, right? Where we just had 500 people in Orlando together. So we have student community, investor community, internal community. We have podcast community. We have also the resident community, right? Where we have, you know, in our case, you know, a little over 1,500 residents that we have an impact on a daily basis. And there's the trickle down effect, right? Where every single time you make an impact on one person, that doesn't just impact one person, right? If they're in a better headspace, better attitude, that's going to impact the lives of those around you. So you can make a huge impact in just in the entire community at large, just from going out there and having, you know, well-intentioned business in place. So I think it's amazing that, you know, you're starting with that vision and clarity of the impact you're going to make. And you know, I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make, is that we just get caught up in just the next deal syndrome, right? And obviously there's something to that, right? There, you always need to be focused on the building each, stacking each brick, you know, but you also need to start with the vision, right? If you're just always focused on, well, I just need to do another deal, just get to the next deal, right? Then I think you find yourself going down a spiral where you don't have that why to fall back on or anchor back to when you do run into challenges or setbacks.
Yeah, I completely agree. It makes me think of, I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's where like a group is going through the jungle and they're trying to make sure they're going the right direction. Well, you need to have that person that goes up, climbs the tree, make sure you're actually going the right direction. Because without direction, you know, you could be doing deal after deal, but maybe those aren't deals you want to be doing, or maybe those aren't going to be getting you to where you ultimately want to go.
The visionary versus the executor.
Love it.
So you mentioned right out the gates, you mentioned clarity and how just in the last 6 months or even 18 months, you probably in the last, it's been a few years now, you've been really developing more and more clarity in terms of what your future looks like. What has helped you with developing that clarity?
I would say a few different things. Honestly, it's a culmination. Like it's not one thing, but it's learning and growing in many different directions because of many different things that are in my life and helping me grow. So I would boil it down to the podcast, being able to immerse myself with high level guests that that I honestly am very curious and want to learn from. And I'm soaking up everything from these podcasts. I would say it's committing to branding, to marketing, to putting myself out there. Because that's something about a year and a half ago was when I first started doing it. But that really, like, before then I was like, well, what's the point? Like, but I really saw the value in having that, like, create community, you know, helping other people. I was like, man, I have a lot to give. I think it's that, reading, honestly, books have like shifted my life. I continuously read more and more every year. Cause I literally love reading. Like, I just get so much value out of it. And there's so many things I've learned from it that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm using that. Oh yeah. You know, I just pick up little things here and there. And then finally I would say, having a coach in my life has been a game changer for me. And it's one of those things where I was like, oh, I don't need a coach. I'm driven. You know, I'm a go-getter. Sure. I'm an A player. Like, I believed in myself. But it wasn't until I had a coach where I was like, whoa, I can go even faster. Like, I can get even more clear, more quickly, and reach my goals 10 times faster than I ever believed possible. You know, honestly, my coach helped me, you know, start Holiday Ventures. And not in the sense of starting it, but in the sense of, like, believing in me and helping show me that, hey, you know, if I want to, if I set a date and if I pick a date and I hold myself accountable – to getting everything lined up before then it can happen. So I think things like that, like the coach, the education through books, putting yourself out there, you know, learning from experts through a podcast or other thought leadership platform. I really say it's a culmination of all that, really just got me clear. And also spending time, also through my coach, of like, just being conscious about where I want to go, right? Like, I knew I wanted to go big, but just getting so clear on that through actually like sitting down, taking time and like actually writing out my vision and journaling on it. Like, that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think just kind of all those together is what really got me clear.
I love that. I can definitely resonate with a lot of those. I think it's always a combination of things, but I've always noticed that the times where I'm most energetic, enthusiastic is the times where I have the most clarity, right? When I can see what the future is looking like. I think I definitely spend most of my time thinking pretty, you know, big picture for the most part. So when I lack clarity, it's hard to even get the daily things done, because you need to always make sure you know what it's leading to in the long term. And even you mentioned lastly there, journaling. You know, even recently I spent at a few months where I just was kind of falling out of the rhythm with like writing down my goals, writing out gratitude, because it kind of becomes mundane sometimes and you kind of forget why you're doing it in the first place or the benefit it makes. And then getting back to it recently, it's completely changed my state just throughout the day, just in the morning and at night before I go to bed, just thinking about my long-term goals and thinking about my short-term goals. I find sometimes I wake up before my alarm and I'm just like just writing stuff down because you're going to sleep with the right intentions and having it all mapped out. So I think it's great. And I really think that, you know, people oftentimes think clarity is just going to come to them one day, but I think you can actually build rhythms and routines into your daily schedule that create clarity for you.
It takes work. Like it really does. But I think if you put in that work, then you're going to be 100 times more grateful to yourself that you did.
Yeah. I was going to say the one thing that resonated most with me was coaching everyone. And growing up, you have a sports coach to run faster, to be stronger. But once you become an adult, everyone balks at the idea of coaching because you're like, oh, well, if you get this job, you don't need coaching. Or if you get this, like when I was an accountant, just the daily grind of that, I was like, there's a bigger purpose out there for me. So then I invested in coaching, and I think we've all invested in coaching, and it's helped us to get to where we are today. And we're still going to need coaches to get further. So I know a lot of people balked when I got a coach in my friend group. They're like, what do you need a coach for? But it definitely, like Evan said, it awakens you into what you want, and it helps provide clarity because it's a whole other realm that you can tap into and go for.
And it's not just a luxury. I think a lot of people will say, well, when I'm making this kind of money, then I'll go buy a coach, right? The reason you're not making that kind of money is because you don't have a coach in the first place a lot of times, right? And it doesn't have to be in the form of a paid coaching thing. It could be seeking to serve. It could be having mentors around you, right? We're just talking about having the support system you need to thrive and be your fullest version. But if you're thinking about it from like the concept of like just looking at it as a luxury, I think it's an easy trap to fall into. But I also think largely that there's very little types of investments that can have the kind of return that investing into yourself first can.
Plus even adding value to your coach. Like you might not have the monetary, but you might have the extra time to help them with whatever their ventures are. It could be a way to gain that accessibility. Like Evan, you with your groundbreaking, you brought people there, which opened the door to get in. And then you earned from there more and more out learning opportunities to learn and grow, and which eventually led to Holiday Ventures today. So,
and what are you working on right now?
Projects. Yeah, a lot, too much. really, it boils down to two different avenues we're working on. It's new construction, affordable workforce housing, continuing to grow on what I've done previously, and then also working on acquisition of workforce and affordable housing, and really doubling down on that niche of, affordable housing, because a lot of people don't know how to do it or don't care to learn. And it's honestly kind of this gray area. And a lot of people don't want to take that time. And that's somewhere where I've become an expert. And, you know, I'm wanting to grow out a team of experts at Holiday Ventures where they can basically be in their certain region, their field. They can help cities, they can help counties, they can preserve existing affordable, fix it up and preserve it, or we can build brand new. But really, I mean, we're working on a few projects that are really, really exciting. I can't go into too much of the development right now, but the acquisition, I mean, we're looking mainly in Louisville, Nashville areas, and seeing what we can do as far as fixing up and preserving affordable housing.
It's awesome. Any resources for getting educated that you could share with our listeners? Do you have anything about books? You want to, of course, you know, let's hear more about your podcast, the media you're putting out there. And also would love to hear more about, I believe you're also taking on a few students to mentor yourself as well. So you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So as far as education, honestly, I've had a lot of people approach me about at least the new construction, the workforce affordable housing. There honestly is not a good source of education. I wish there was. I'd send everybody there. but there really isn't. It's kind of like mind blowing. But that's something where, I hope to educate people through what I'm doing in my podcast and my platform. And really above and beyond that, I would recommend, you know, as far as the multifamily world, I'd recommend a lot of Jake and Gino's books, even like Joe Fairless's book. I think that's a phenomenal mm-hmm. book. And outside of that, Traction. And, you know, there's so many books that I get so much value from, but one of the ones I'm reading right now is Tax-Free Wealth. It's a mind-stretching book because it actually gets you excited about taxes. So I highly recommend that to anybody, especially those in real estate. And then as far as podcast monumental, we're going into mindset, multifamily, really just trying to get the best of the best, the highest level A players that honestly, a lot of I'm just every one of them, I'm really just curious. I just want to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And it's an excuse for me to get to talk to them for an hour. Yeah. I mean, like what we're doing right now, I mean, it's fun too. So a lot of big guests coming on soon, but monumental podcast. And then finally you asked about coaching. So coaching has been for me a game changer, like we talked about. So that's why I was like, man, like I want to give back to the next generation sure. of people.
The next Evan.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really it. It was like, man, so you're telling me I can actually help people the same way my coach helped me, and I can help people actually like break through the limiting beliefs. I mean, 95% of what we go through is typically just all in your head. Like
right.
it legitimately is. Like it's crazy. If you boil down anything to the core source of what is causing the problem, it's usually mental. And I think that so many people struggle with that. I struggled with that. And so for me, I was like, whoa, like I can help people overcome just like I've overcome things in my life.
Sometimes you need to pay someone just to tell you that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like my coach, like, you know, it's honestly just about pulling out answers that are already inside of me.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I'm seeking to do with others, is helping them reach that 10X level of just like going all out in every facet of their life and business.
Right.
So it's just another way that I want to try to give back.
Excellent. And what's the best way for everyone to connect with you?
Yeah. So, best way, as you guys probably know, is Instagram. Mm-hmm. I love Instagram. I've met some amazing people there. Connect with me on Instagram. It's just at Evan Holiday. And then also website, evanholiday.com, holidayventures.com, and then podcast Monumental.
Absolutely. And one of our, before we end every podcast, we like to give one expert tip, active passive investor, but what's the one expert tip you would have for our audience when it comes to investing or coaching or whatever?
Expert tip. I think we covered a lot of good ones today, but I would say honestly, just surround yourself with the best, like what we're doing right now. Like figure out ways to put yourself in circles where you know you're going to grow, and you're going to grow tremendously. Mm-hmm. Like go, there's so many free ways to do that too. Like meetups. Like we all did a meetup about a month and a half yeah. ago here in Nashville. Like that was a free event. There was like 50 people there that are all like, some people have thousands of units, and we had great speakers, and you know, it was just a great event. So things like that, where you can just literally surround yourself with other people that are going to push you way further. You know, it's almost like accountability. That's the biggest thing, I think. Absolutely.
And so thank you everyone for listening to the Rand Partners podcast, and thank you, Evan, so much for being on, and we will see you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to us again, randpartnersllc.com. Click on podcast and feel free to ask us anything, or you know, reach out to Evan directly on Instagram. It's the best way to get a hold of him. So I appreciate you joining us here, Evan. And, yeah. and you know, let's hopefully we'll be back in Nashville soon.
Yes. I had a blast, guys. This is awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot.